Good morning. I learned from Buckley. I thank him for his wisdom. I did not bring a phone up, so I think we're okay there. I'm always humbled to have the opportunity to share God's Word with anyone. But this morning I feel even more unequal to the task. So the goal this morning is as little David as possible and as much God as possible. For those of you who have your Bibles, please turn to those. We're going to have 11 different scriptures that we look at. Or if you want to take notes, that will help as well. Get this here. There we go. Just as in the class this morning, we concluded our study in Revelation early this past month. And we were really having a conversation about our identity and our purpose and our context. You know, we were reminded of our identity as God's adopted daughters and sons. And that we are the bride and the body of Christ. And that God has an important place for us in His mission of seeking and saving the lost and reconciling Him to human beings. And we also asked the question, who is God sending to us? As we tried to figure out where do we need to go going forward. Well, after much prayer and through the means of this conversation, for those of you who were in the Sunday morning class, you know that the shepherds have decided that we want to focus on serving one another in love. And that is the purpose of this lesson this morning. I want to thank Peter for reading Galatians 5:13 through 18. Galatians 5:13 is where we actually get that, but it is pervasive throughout God's Word and the example that Jesus has set to us, that we need to serve one another in love. So that's our first scripture, is Galatians 5:13 through 18. We're going to look at the three different parts of this command, and we'll look at three scriptures for each of those, and then another scripture in the conclusion. For those of you who are taking notes, those will be the 11 total scriptures. So first, what does it mean to serve like Jesus? You know, the towels are there. If you didn't make the connection, I think Alex read for us the story of Jesus watching the feet of his disciples. And when we think about service, do we think about someone serving us in the restaurant? You know, taking our order, bringing our food, taking our dirty dishes away. Do we think about our public servants, police, firefighters, military, and all those who serve us in different ways? Maybe we think about the moms that serve our families in the home, and grandmothers, and all those. Let's look at three scriptures this morning to help us understand what it means to serve like Jesus. Let's start in Philippians chapter 2. Starting in verse 5. We could read most of this chapter, but we're going to cut it down a little bit. Philippians 2, beginning in verse 5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, who being the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So our example from our Lord and Savior, from Jesus, is one of humble obedience to our Father in heaven. God calls us to follow His Son in our relationships with one another. We are to serve each other. If you would go ahead and start flipping over to Matthew chapter 22. There we read an interesting story. The wife of Zebedee, the mother of James and John, the disciples, she asks for positions of honor and authority in Jesus' kingdom. Now, Jesus realizes she has no idea what she's asking for her sons. But he does decide to explain to his apostles that 10 of them were indignant. You're wondering if because they didn't think to ask before James and John's mom for positions of honor, But Jesus is going to straighten them out and explain what he's talking about and what it means to serve in the kingdom of heaven. So beginning in verse 25 of Matthew 22, Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Do you want to be great in God's family? Jesus says to serve. He gave us our example to serve others and to lead by serving one another. I'm sure that Peter remembered this time with Jesus when James and John's mother had come forward when he wrote in 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 8. If you would flip over to 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 8. Peter wrote, "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins." Amen? "Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." So why does God give us spiritual gifts and abilities and talents? To serve one another. This is how we show our love to God and His people and faithfully serve as stewards of God's gifts of grace that He's given to us. Peter continues in verse 11. "If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." So where do we get the strength to serve? God. God gives it to us to serve Him and our fellow human beings. How do we glorify God? We serve. So that's the first part of our command, to serve one another in love. Let's move to the middle portion, which is one another. Who is it that we are to serve? You know, when we think of Jesus and His parable of the Good Samaritan, the question was asked, who is my neighbor? Right? And I think Jesus clearly shows that anybody in need, you know, any fellow human being is part of the one another of who we are to serve. The Scripture also tells us that we are supposed to pay special attention to the needs of our brothers and sisters in Christ. If you would, please turn to Romans chapter 12. And we'll start in verse 3. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 3. "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." So I'm told not to think too highly of myself, but to look to God. Let's read on in verse 9. Skip down to verse 9 of chapter 12. "Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality." And he continues, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Wait a minute. Does that mean serving means I'm supposed to live at peace with other people? I'm supposed to bless those who persecute me? Who does God think I am? Does he think I'm Jesus? Oh wait, that's the point, isn't it? He's calling us to be like his son, our example. That's how we're supposed to treat other people. Serve one another. So that's the struggle, isn't it? Let's see what Paul has to say about this battle between the flesh and the spirit. If you would flip over to Galatians chapter 6, we'll start in verse 7. Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. God knows our heart. He knows my heart. He knows your heart. And he calls us to invest in one another by serving one another. Why is that? Because our relationship with God and our relationships with other people are the only real eternal investment there is in this life. No knock on financial planners. Okay. Why, while we are called to do good to all people, there's special emphasis that we are called to take care of our church family and our needs while we live on God's earth. As we finish looking at one another, let's turn to James chapter 5, where we get some more practical advice, beginning in verse 13. James 5, I'm going to read verses 13 through 16. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. God calls us to be in each other's lives in a positive way. Life is going to have trouble and happiness and sickness and tragedy. Let us share together in life and praise God as we do. And he calls us to confess our sins to one another and to pray for each other. Because God not only hears our prayers, he acts upon them. So let's look at the third part of this command. We're to serve one another in love, with the big red underline. You might have seen this slide before in Mark's class. This is really the key. We can serve one another all day long, right? But what's the motivation? Right? The in love part is our motivation. And that love is God's love. I don't know about you, but sometimes I struggle to get a grip on the magnitude of God's love. Does anybody else struggle with that? How huge and big our Creator's love is for us. It's all encompassing. So let's look and see how God explains his love to us. If you would turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 5. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Do you hear that, brothers and sisters? God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. God has given us His love to share. He's placed His Holy Spirit in our hearts, in our souls, so that we can love like He loves. We can love other people the way He loves us. When we serve one another in love, God is living in us and working through us. As we continue in verse 6, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How big is God's love? He gave His Son while we were still lost in His sins. As a father, I cannot comprehend this. I love each one of you very much. I would not give any of my children for you. But I do want them to serve each of you in love. Also, maybe God is calling us to be living sacrifices as His people. In Romans 12:1. God's love is bigger than anything in my life and anything in your life. His love never fails. So what can separate us from God? Stand in Romans. Let's go over to chapter 8. For your scripture reference, you can put 31 through 39, but we're only going to read 38 and 39. Romans 8, if you want to write down 31 through 39, we're just going to read 38 and 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? God took care of our sin problem on the cross. And through our resurrected Lord and Savior, sin was the only thing that could separate us from God's love. As Christians, we are encouraged that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, at first I was thinking I wanted to finish with John 3:16 through 18. And I was thinking of Herman, right? And his elementary school teacher who taught him John 3:16. And that's certainly a great verse. If you want to write down that, that's your bonus verse. John 3:16 through 18. But Mark has been referencing 1 John a lot. And 1 John 3:16 through 18 is an even better verse. So that's where we're going to finish up. 1 John. Either way, it's John. I love the apostle whom Jesus loved. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. John puts it in pretty plain words, how we are to serve one another in love. I think there used to be a minister here who said, see a need, do a deed. At least I've heard that. And I think that's a great sentiment to capture what John is telling us. We demonstrate our love for God and one another when we serve one another in love. So there you have it. God calls us to serve one another in love. This is going to be our final scripture reference, John 13, verses 34 through 35. This is just a little bit later in that chapter. If you remember Alex reading this morning or you read the Shepherd's Corner, Jesus has just washed all 12 apostles' feet. So 24 stinking dirty feet, including the feet of Judas, who's just getting ready to betray Him. That's the example that He set for us. And He says this, a new command I give you, love one another As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Be encouraged. God's love is in your heart. It's in my heart, because He's put His Holy Spirit in our hearts so that we can love like He loves. Jesus has taken away our sin and showed us how to live as an obedient, loving servant of God. So how are we doing today? How are you doing? Are you living in Christ? Have you been born again of the water and the Spirit? Are you struggling? Do you need prayer? Whatever need you have, please come this morning as we stand and sing.